Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Thank God for the gospel of power. Thank God for the gospel that has the ability to save and to deliver men from sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God, which is able to bring us to maturity. So we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for illumination, clarity. Thank you because our lives will not remain the same. Thank you because we are instructed in the way we ought to go, and we obey these instructions by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. So this is episode 140, and then we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. This is part 12. Hallelujah. This is part 12. And then today I just want to make progress on where we stopped the last time. I began to teach on how to grow spiritually. You know, we've seen what spiritual growth is. We've seen what it means to grow spiritually. We've seen what spiritual growth is not. And then today I want to just continue to teach on how to grow spiritually, which is a very vital aspect of this teaching. I mean, it's not enough for us to just talk about spiritual growth and what it is, and, you know, talk about what it is not also, without talking about how to really achieve spiritual maturity. I believe that the how is as important as teaching what spiritual growth is. Praise God. So I said last week, the last episode, that the major thing, or the most fundamental and basic thing to do for spiritual growth is to yield yourself to a sound ministry of the word. Hallelujah. That is, yield yourself to a ministry gift, a man that is responsible for you doctrinally, a man that is able to teach you the word of God. Sometimes people get into pride and some unnecessary arrogance, and they don't feel a need. They don't feel that there's a need to receive the word of God. But then Bible tells us to receive God's word with meekness. James 1:21, Bible says to lay aside every overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Bible encourages us to receive the word of God with all sense of meekness and humility. There are times when people also, you know, desire to submit to someone to receive the word of God, but they eventually do not find a sound minister of the gospel, a sound minister of God's word. So the fall victim of false teachings, and then, you know, they are so passionate to receive. So because of that passion and hunger, they receive all manner of things, and they are more confused than they were even before listening. So what I intended to do today was to just continue to teach on how to grow spiritually, but I feel that it's necessary to start by showing us what to look out for. Hallelujah. In a teaching ministry, what am I looking out for? What am I trying to receive? What am I to follow? What am I to, what should show me, or what should define safety for me in receiving from a man? Hallelujah. And then today I'm just going to show you very clearly from scriptures what marks out a sound ministry of the word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we'll continue to show how to grow spiritually. But before, you know, this message pushes you to just go in search of following anyone at all, I think it's right. It's necessary for us to define the very things that mark out a sound ministry gift. Look at 2 Timothy. We'll see 2 Timothy chapter 2. Then we'll see 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very vital instructions in there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Look at from verse 14. I will just remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive before words to no profit. Bible says to the ruin of the hearers. Look at verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you see that there's the possibility of wrongly dividing the word of truth. There's the possibility of rightly dividing the word of truth, that is, teaching God's word accurately, rightly dissecting the scriptures. So you can fall into the hand of somebody who is not rightly dividing the word of truth, somebody who is just using scriptures wrongfully, somebody who is abusing or misusing the scriptures. So there's the tendency to rightly divide the word of truth or to mislead by wrongly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. This is one of my go-to scriptures for, you know, the purpose and the essence of the scriptures. It's a major scripture in the New Testament for that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you look at the previous text, verse 15, the Bible says, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the scriptures are useful for teaching salvation, the subject of salvation. Hallelujah. So in looking for a sound minister of the gospel, in trying to identify a sound minister of the gospel, you are looking for somebody who teaches the truth about salvation, who uses the Bible to explain the concept of salvation. We use the Bible to teach what Christ has done. Hallelujah. What Christ has done, because that's salvation basically. What Jesus has done for you and I. And then I'm going to show you how that the epistles, the letters of the apostles, are divided into two main categories. You must not miss this. In looking for a sound minister of the gospel, there are only two things, two areas you are looking for. Hallelujah. Not many things, just two things. It's amazing that in our own time and generation, people seek spiritual leaders and pastors for many other reasons apart from being taught the word of God. But then the major reason why we should seek spiritual gifts is so we can be trained and taught the scriptures. We can be equipped. Look at who Jesus was to his disciples. You see, look at who Jesus was to the apostles. Jesus was a teacher. Hallelujah. He was a teacher to them. Of course, he worked miracles, did signs and wonders. But then much more to his apostles and disciples, he was a teacher. He taught them the scriptures. He explained to them the mysteries of the kingdom. So there is more to the work of a minister, of a pastor, or spiritual leader than just praying for people. As a matter of fact, he is meant to teach you how to pray. Praise God. So we are not looking up to men so they can pray over our lives and declare things and then prophesy to us and then minister to us by the Spirit. We are looking up to them so they can train and equip us to do the work of ministry. Train and equip us to also pray, to know how to pray, to train and equip us to also know how to prophesy. Because prophesying is the birthright of every Christian. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Not some bishops or pastors or elders alone. He says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So it's commonplace for every believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Every believer has the manifestation of the Spirit. Mark 16:16-17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall cast out devils, they shall lay hands on the sick, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Have you seen? So it's an intrinsic quality of every believer in Christ Jesus. So we are not looking for pastors or spiritual leaders for the sake of them, you know, entertaining us or dazing us as though we're in a theater, but we are looking for men to train us and equip us to walk in that which is our own in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So scriptures are to be taught by men. Praise God. Scriptures are to be taught. Scriptures are to be taught. And then I said, I'm going to show us two main things to look out for. The Bible is profitable for teaching the doctrine of salvation. Hallelujah. The doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation. So I'm looking for a sound ministry gift, and then I'm looking out for his emphasis on the subject of salvation. His emphasis on what Christ has done. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. Praise God. How do I identify a sound ministry gift? How do I identify who to submit to as a believer in Christ Jesus? 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the emphasis. Hallelujah. That's the emphasis. That's what we are looking out for in a ministry gift. An emphasis on Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. What Christ has done for you and I. Look at verse 3. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So anything contrary to Christ and Him crucified is the wisdom of men. No matter how sound it appears. Hallelujah. No matter how impressive, no matter how powerful, no matter how, beautiful and lofty the presentation is, if it is not about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what He has done, then it is not the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. So He makes a distinction between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of God is the gospel, Christ and Him crucified, what He has done in us and what He's doing in us today by Spirit. And then He says, not the wisdom of this age nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Have you seen? He speaks of it as the hidden wisdom of God, that which God ordained before time, before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. That is, it is not the kind of wisdom we are going to find in this world. It does not in any way originate from the secular world. Hallelujah. It is not principles of marketing, principles of branding. It's not anything you can find in the world. It is not how to stand out, It's not the wisdom of men, psychological tips. Philosophy, earthly wisdom. No, it is not anything you can come across in the world. It is exclusive to Christ. Hallelujah. So look at this. It says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10. So of course, verse 9 shows us that these things have not entered the hearts of men. These things have not been seen by men. Apart from Christ and apart from having a revelation of what He has done, it is not something that has crossed the minds of men. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. Now these things are the things that the apostles have written to us in their letters. We are not to, get into the place of prayer, sit down in one place and be trying to see these deep things. These deep things have been revealed by the apostles. That's why Paul says, we speak this wisdom among those who are mature. Hallelujah. That's what he began to talk about from the very first verse. That's what he refers to as Christ and Him crucified. Everything he's saying here is a further explanation of Christ and Him crucified. The wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The deep things of God. Everything here is about Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. That's why when you get to verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Given to us by God in who? In Christ. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. The Bible says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He who did not spare up His own Son, but delivered Him for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So you see that the things freely given to us by God are things freely given to us with Christ, with His Son, in Him. So that's Christ and Him crucified again. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. So the wisdom of God, which Paul is speaking about in this place, the revelation of the Spirit, which eyes have not seen, is the same as Christ and Him crucified. That is what we are looking for in a ministry gift. A ministry gift that has an emphasis on that which is ours in Christ, that which we possess in Christ, our inheritance in Christ Jesus, that which we have come to receive in Him by faith. Hallelujah. See, any minister of the gospel that does not have this emphasis is not preaching the gospel. It's as simple as that. And this is one of the ways to know or to identify or to mark out a minister of the gospel that is sound from those who are not sound. Any minister, see, it is not my own message. You don't say, well, that's your own emphasis. I've heard a lot of preachers say, some people think it's all about new Christian realities, what Christ has done, what Christ has done. Okay, it's about what? What Satan has done? What is it meant to be about? No, it's a question. What is it meant to be about? Jesus came, he became a man, suffered, identified with our humanity, went to the cross, bled, suffered, he was killed, he rose again on the third day, he sent men into the world to preach and to declare what he has done. And you are saying, some people think it's all about what Christ has done, what Christ has... What is it meant to be about? Is it about what you are doing, or what you have done, or what you... What is it about? Hallelujah. Is it meant to be about the exploits of the world? I'm sick and tired of preachers that come on the pulpit to be teaching the saints about the exploits of the world. What somebody did in engineering, what somebody did in science, what somebody did in economics, what somebody is doing in the banking sector. Shut your mouth. Get off the pulpit of Jesus and don't come back here until you have learned the gospel and you've learned the faithfulness that is required to stick with that message. It's all about what Jesus has done. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. No, I'm not angry. Hallelujah. I'm not angry. These things have to be said, and they must be said well. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16. Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. It's all about Christ and him crucified. His appearance in the flesh to do what God has sent him to do. His ascension to the right hand of the Father, and what that connotes and signifies. Having purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. It's all about what Jesus has done. So this is what we're looking for in a sound ministry gift. Ask yourself this question. How many things did the apostles teach? How many things were the apostles bothering themselves or bothering men with many things? Praise God. How many things did Peter teach? How many things was Peter concerned about? Peter was even an illiterate. He had no knowledge of many things. So he couldn't even crowd out the gospel with many of his own philosophy and ideology. He didn't have many of those things. He wasn't exposed to many of those philosophies. He was an illiterate. The only thing that he had received from Jesus is the gospel. And he took it to the world raw. Hallelujah. Raw. Raw in the power of the Spirit. So it's about what Christ has done. Hallelujah. It's about what Christ has done. This is what we are to look for in a sound minister of the gospel. The revelation knowledge of what Christ has done. This was the reason why the apostle Paul was always praying for insight into that which Christ has done. Hallelujah. Insight into that which Christ has done. Listen, what Christ has done is not one of our many messages. It is the core of New Testament revelation. Hallelujah. Someone says, what about faith? Faith is new Christian reality because faith came in Christ. Faith came to us by the gospel of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Someone says, can't we teach holiness? Holiness is new Christian realities. For in Christ Jesus will be made holy and sanctified. Someone says, but can't we teach the grace of God? It's of his fullness we have received, grace after grace. Do you understand? Everything is part and parcel of what Christ has done. Someone says, can't we teach power? Can't we teach on how to walk in power? Power is an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in North Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Someone says, oh, can't we teach on the anointing? Bible says, he who has anointed us and sealed us with the Spirit is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. We have been anointed by his Spirit. Hallelujah. There is nothing we are to teach. There is no concept that is estranged, that is, separate from that which Christ has done. That's the core of Bible revelation. Hallelujah. That's the core of Bible revelation. Someone says, can't we teach on the mercy of God? The mercy of God has been found in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. Who once were not a people, but now the people of God. Who once have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have received the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have received the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3 Glory to God. Bible says, from verse 4, Bible says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. According to his mercy, we have obtained the mercy of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Glory to God. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, we have obtained the mercy of God. So, mercy is a new Christian reality. Hallelujah. Ephesians and chapter 2, look at this now. Bible says in verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in him, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the riches, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We have obtained the mercy of God. We've been saved according to the riches of his mercy. Hallelujah. According to the riches of his mercy. You know, I quoted 2 Corinthians earlier, chapter 1, hallelujah. Verse 21, concerning the anointing, Bible says, now who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So, new Christian realities, in Christ realities, that which we have in Christ is not one of our messages. It is the core of our messages. Hallelujah. Someone says, oh, when are we going to preach righteousness? Righteousness is a gift of faith. It's a new Christian reality. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a new Christian reality. Hallelujah. It's a new Christian reality. So there's nothing we want to teach. All the blessedness of God is packed and packaged in Christ Jesus. The man that receives Christ has received the embodiment and the fullness and the largesse of God's blessing. So it's not one of our messages, it's the core. What Jesus has accomplished. So the preacher of the gospel is a preacher of the accomplishment of Christ in the saints. He's a preacher of the accomplishment of Christ, of the finished work of Christ. Glory to God. So it's not one of the things we preach, it is the major thing we preach. Hallelujah. So this is what distinguishes a sound minister from an unsound minister of the gospel. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This was what informed the prayer of Paul for the saints. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 15. Bible says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things, who fills all in all. So you see that the revelation that Paul wants the church to have is that which is connected with the resurrection of Christ, with the work of redemption. Hallelujah. That is what he wants us to know. That is what he wants us to comprehend, to come into, to understand, to grasp. Hallelujah. Because this is not one of the messages. This is the core of Bible revelation. Hallelujah. And a minister of the gospel that does not have this emphasis, that does not have a strong emphasis on that which Christ has done, is not preaching Christ. Hallelujah. A minister of the gospel that does not have a strong emphasis on that which we have received in Christ Jesus is not a sound minister of the gospel. Forget his money, his wealth, his fame, his influence, his accolades. Forget everything. Just forget all those things and focus on the main thing. If he does not have the revelation of Christ, what he has done, if he does not have a consistent and sound emphasis on that which Christ has accomplished, he is not a sound minister of the gospel. You never find spiritual maturity in such a ministry. You will never find it. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And there are still lots of people trapped in the claws of religion. They are not growing. They don't even know what the problem is. But the problem is simple. What they are being fed. They are not being fed the truth of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. What Christ has done is not one of our messages. It is the core of Bible Revelation. Glory be to God. It's the core Bible, Revelation. Look at this as I close. And then we'll continue from here tomorrow. I'm going to show you. I said I'm going to show you two things to look out for. This is the first one. This is the most important one. The man must have a strong emphasis on the redemptive work of Christ. He must have a strong emphasis on the finished work of Christ, on what Christ has accomplished and done. That is, Bible study should not begin with what you should do. It should begin with what Christ has done and accomplished. This is the only way you ever find spiritual growth in such a ministry. Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Thank God for the word. Acts of Apostles 20. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. Acts of Apostles 20. Bible says in verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." Have you seen? What is the word of his grace able to do? It is able to give. Hallelujah. The word of his grace does not demand. It gives you an inheritance. And, you know, more accurately, it shows you, it gives you the knowledge of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. The word of his grace is that which reveals to you the knowledge of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. So look at Romans chapter 8. I said the word of his grace reveals to you the inheritance which you have in Christ. Romans in chapter 8, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 8 now. Glory to God. Romans and chapter 8. I'll read from verse 15. Bible says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So he refers to us as heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Men who have, you know, who have an inheritance in the Father along with the Son. Glory to God. Look at Colossians chapter 2. So it's a very vital thing that a ministry gives, reveals to the saints their inheritance in Christ. That's what the word of his grace does. Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Okay, I think it's Colossians chapter 1. Sorry, Colossians 1. I read verse 12. Bible says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So a strong ministry gift or a sound ministry gift emphasizes our inheritance in Christ Jesus. That which Jesus has done, has achieved, has accomplished for you and I by his death and resurrection. If a minister is not loud on this, he's not a sound minister of the gospel. Forget sentiment, forget sentiment and bias, emotional attachment and all that. He is not a sound minister of the gospel. He can be every other thing. He can be a good husband. He can be a good businessman. He can be a politician. He can be any other thing. He can even be nice and caring. Praise God. You know, most times people cannot separate these things. The fact that a man is not teaching sound doctrine doesn't make him an evil person. There are unbelievers who are good people. I hope you know. Unbelievers that are kind, good, you know, good to their people, who are philanthropic. You know, so it doesn't mean the person is bad and wicked. It just means he's not a sound minister of the gospel. Praise God. Sometimes, you know, I remember back then in school, we used to have teachers who were not good teachers. It doesn't mean they were bad people. Do you understand? They were just poor teachers. They couldn't teach. They had no knowledge of what they were teaching. You know, you have an English teacher who didn't understand past tense. He's a good person, good, you know, natured, kind. He was down to earth, playing with the kids, would give them, share his food, eat our food with them, and all that. But, you know, he's a bad teacher. Do you understand? It's so simple. So, I'm not saying the man is wicked. I'm not saying the man is not philanthropic. I'm not saying the man is a poor, you know, husband or, you know, poor wife material or anything. No, that's not what we are saying. Let's learn to separate these issues. Simply, we are saying the man is not a sound minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. He may be every other thing to you, apart from being a sound minister of the gospel. Let's get this right, and let's, you know, stop all these sentimental appraisals that we do in the body of Christ. What makes a sound minister of the gospel is his emphasis on an overwhelming, strong emphasis on that which Christ has done for you and I by virtue of his death and resurrection. If a man does not have this, he is not a sound minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. He is not a sound minister of the gospel. It can be every other thing to you, but he is not a sound minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, I had to really emphasize this in this message because it's so needful, it's so necessary that we learn to separate those issues. Praise God. You know, some false teachers are very good fathers. Praise God. False teacher, but I mean, you know, is a good parent. He's there for his kids, pays their school fees, you know, gives money for their feeding, a good parent and all that. You know, bonds with the children, they go out together to have some fun, come together. The children can even confide in him, but he's a false teacher because he's not preaching the truth of the word of God. He's preaching contrary to the word of God. So let's learn to separate those issues and then we'll make more progress that way. I'll continue in the next episode on this subject, and I want you to think about many of the things I've said. Consider them carefully because this will determine how far you go in the faith. Your understanding of this particular thing will determine how far you go in the faith, you know, with regards to spiritual maturity. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. And let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of spiritual songs, full of prayers, full of faith and power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.